This is what happens when people, and this is where the title comes from, when people sell themselves to do evil. And when they sell out to the evil one, they call good evil and darkness light and bitter sweet. And so chapter 21 tonight reveals this in the life of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. That's a pretty famous name in Scripture, isn't it? I told my wife the other night, I have yet to find anyone, any female that I've ever met in my life, except for one whose name is Jezebel. It's not really a popular name. Just consider the wicked sins that they've committed up to this point. Ahab and Jezebel. What were they doing? They were blatantly disobeying God's commands to the point where Scripture tells us in chapter 16, verse 30, that Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all of the kings that were before him. Wow. That's a pretty heavy reputation. How sad it is that after his rule and reign, that's what he would be known for, doing more evil than any other king that Israel had. As I've mentioned before in this book, of the 40 kings that we find in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, only 4 of them were godly. How sad. But yet again, look at our nation. Look at the leaders in our nation. How many of our leaders are truly born again? How many of them are Christians? How many of them obey the commandments of God? And we can point the finger at Israel. We can point the finger at all these wicked and evil kings, but look what we've done. Why are we in such a jam today? Why are we upside down pretty much as a nation? It's because of ungodly leaders that are ruling. And so Ahab did more evil in the sight of the Lord. God doesn't miss anything. He did more evil in the sight of the Lord than any other king, more than all of the kings before him. And you know what? His wife Jezebel was equally as wicked. Possibly even worse than her hubby. Jezebel brought idolatry into Israel. They were worshiping the god of Baal. By bringing in the worship of the pagan god Baal, Ahab allowed it to spread throughout the land. It infected Israel. The Bible very clearly says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And that's what's happened to America today. We've allowed a little leaven to leaven the whole lump, to permeate our nation. How sad. And when you reject the truth, you embrace the lie. You're either doing one or the other. You are either holding on to and embracing the truth, or you're holding on to embracing the lie. There's no in between. There's no gray. God's word is truth. That's why we go through God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precept, so we can have the truth in our minds and in our hearts, because it is the truth, the Bible says, it sets us free. And Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And when you reject the truth, you embrace the lie, and we know who the father of the lie is, Satan himself. And eventually, guess what? You're controlled by lies. And so here in verses 1-4, the evil and wickedness of Ahab and Jezebel continues. Let's read it. And it came to pass, after these things, that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Naboth means fruitful. And guess what? He lived up to his name. He was a fruitful man. He loved God. And as we're going to see in a moment, he obeyed God's commandments. God wants the same thing to hold true in your life and in mine. He wants us to bear much fruit. The Bible says Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. If we abide in him and he in us, we will bear how much fruit? Much fruit. Fruit. And it's so important that we too bear fruit. and that we too walk in obedience to God. And so Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near, next to my house. And for it I will give you a vineyard better than it. Or, if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers to you." So Ahab went into his house, sullen and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed, sucking his thumb, my translation, and turned away his face and would not eat food. He had a little pity party. The king of Israel, a grown man, having a pity party. And so Ahab and Jezebel are now in their summer place, a place called Jezreel. And the kings in Israel in those days would always have a summer place that they went to. And that's where he is right now. And here in verses 1 and 2, it's here that Ahab decides he would like a vegetable garden next to his summer place. And it just so happens that there's a piece of land, a vineyard right next to his house, owned by a man named Naboth, a Jezreelite. Another one of Ahab's wicked sins now will come to the surface. It is amazing how life can draw out the sins of people, especially in their wants. His want here actually is the sin of covetousness. And how often people of power acquire one thing after another, yet they are not satisfied. Our government is supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And look how many politicians today have become multimillionaires by fleecing the flock instead of ministering to and feeding the flock. It saddens my heart. They're supposed to be public servants. They too have hearts filled with covetousness. Not all of them, but a pretty good percentage of them. And so Ahab speaks to Naboth in verse 2, saying, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have a vegetable garden. I'll give you a better one for it. I'll give you what it's worth in money if you choose that as well." In doing so, Ahab was masking his covetousness, as we will soon see. Now, Naboth's response was pretty much simply no, and for good reason. It's not that Naboth was selfish, didn't want to help out the king of Israel, but there were laws that God set up in Leviticus as well as Deuteronomy in the Old Testament in the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. And Naboth's concern was obedience to God, not obtaining money. His heart was right, vertically as well as horizontally. The land belonged to God. Israel belonged to God. And it still does belong to God today. The land belonged to God, who loaned the land to his people as long as they obeyed his covenant. And the property was to be kept in the family, Leviticus 25:23. God gave it to a family, and they were to pass it on from generation to generation. And so the land belonged to Naboth and his family, as long as they obeyed God. And it was kept in the family, and that's exactly what Naboth was doing, exactly what God commanded him to do, which meant that according to God's law, Naboth was forbidden to sell his land to the king, or anyone else for that matter. So what does Ahab do? Look at verse 4. So Ahab went into his house, sullen and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would not eat food. A grown man, a king. Can you imagine? Having a pity party, pouting. The king, mind you, goes home, lays on his bed and pouts. That's a pretty weak leader, if you ask me. Sullen and displeased. Sullen in Hebrew is sa'ar. It means resentful, peevish, to be irritated, especially by unimportant things. The word displeased, za'ef, means he was vexed in a fit of rage. So guess what? Guess who shows up now? In comes Jezebel to Ahab's pity party. Jezebel was so evil that she never allowed the truth to stand in the way of what she wanted. And we've seen that in her life. Nothing would get in the way, even her own husband, as we will see in a moment. She didn't allow anything to get in the way of what she wanted. She had a problem with covetousness as well. So watch what she does. Verse 5 to 10. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food? He said to her, because I spoke to Naboth, the Jezreelite, and said to him, give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. Then Jezebel, his wife, said to him, you now exercise authority over Israel. She tells him what to do, but guess what? She's going to end up doing it herself. Check it out. Arise, eat food. Let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. You see what she's doing? This wicked-hearted woman does not care about the law of God. This is God's law. This is God's commandment. What does she say? I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Look what she does. And she wrote letters in Ahab's name. Didn't even tell him. Sealed them with his seal. And sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. She wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed God and the king. Then take him out and stone him that he may die. Wow. What a wicked woman. Man. It's funny, in the 60s, we'd use the term in Vermont in the 80s. If you're a Vermonter, they use the term wicked good. You talk about an oxymoron. If something is really, really good in Vermont, it's wicked good, you know? But it's an oxymoron. She was just plain wicked. There was nothing good in her. And what does she say? I will give you the vineyard. Again, when you reject the truth, you embrace the lie. She rejected the truth of God, God's commandment. And she was embracing the lie. She not only lies, but she fabricates an official lie. She gets all of his stuff, his seal, his stationery, everything, uses his name and all. I don't think Ahab had a clue what was going on. And she fabricates an official lie. What a joke. On his own personal stationery, with his seal and his name, behind Ahab's back, She writes this official letter on his stationery, in his name, with his seal. And Jezebel is now breaking God's law. As she uses Ahab's stationery, his name, his seal, to write Naboth's death warrant. How sad. She is actually using his stationery, his seal, his name, and everything to write out a death warrant for Naboth. How sad. How wicked is that? Why? So that Ahab could have a little veggie garden next to the palace. Are you kidding me? You see how wicked people's hearts are. You see how selfish people can be. It's incredible. And you know what I find? Thousands of years later, after this chapter was written, people's hearts haven't changed a whole lot in many different places, in many different ways. How sad. We need righteous rule in our nations. We need righteous people to obey God's commandments. And you know what? Times haven't changed. Why? Because man's heart hasn't changed. The Bible says that man's heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Jeremiah. And you know what that means, the original language? It means incurably sick. You know what happens when you give your life to Jesus Christ and you're born again? He gives you a heart transplant. He takes that incurably sick heart out and he gives you a brand new heart filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we need in America today. Did you notice her blatant lie? She even sprinkled in even a little religion here. Look at it. She wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth in the high honor among the people. And seat two men, scoundrels, it even says, before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed God and the king. Then take him out and stone him that he may die. Isn't it amazing as well? And again, times haven't changed. You know, many murderers there are out there in religions that just sprinkle a little bit of religion in there and they think what they're doing is right. My Bible tells me very clearly one of the commandments that God gives us, it's not a suggestion, it's a commandment, thou shalt not kill. And Jesus himself said, he took it a step further, he says, if you hate somebody in your heart, you've murdered them. That's why we need to get this stuff out of our hearts, folks, as Christians. We have to be very, very careful not to allow our soft hearts to become hardened. They can become calcified in the world in which we live. And I find myself on a daily basis casting things out that want to make me angry and bitter and harsh towards people. And I have to give it to God. You know, my Bible tells me the same thing it tells you. We are to forgive 70 times 7. And if you have to count up to 490, you got a problem, my friend. 70 times 7. I guarantee you, every person in this room has been forgiven more than 490 times by Jesus Christ. I probably used that up already this year. I guarantee I have. And possibly so have you. Every thought that's wicked, everything that's evil that we think or do, probably what, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day? Times, how many days have we gone through here this year already? I think we're over 490, all of us. And I don't say that in a joking, funny way or a condemning way, but that is the heart of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he forgives us. And what follows the Lord's Prayer in Matthew's Gospel is that if you forgive others, he said, I will forgive you, but if you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. Red letters. So here she sprinkles in a little bit of religion. She sugarcoats her murderous scheme with a little bit of religion. Verse 9, notice, she wrote in the letter, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with the high honor among the people. Wow. Naboth, the guest of honor. But she's also going to sit two scoundrels right next to him. Man, a little bit of religion. But you know what? The real truth of the matter is, and we'll see this tonight, they will both pay dearly. Oftentimes we think people get away with things, sinful things, evil, wicked things. And all of a sudden, we see that oftentimes again. I'm not picking on politicians tonight, but there's things going on in our nation. People should have been in prison for a long time ago, and all of a sudden it just fades into the backdrop. But you know what? God still remembers. And without the precious blood of Jesus Christ, they are going to be judged for every single sin that they commit. They will both pay dearly. And we're going to see that before the chapter ends. In the sight of God, this is a lie. God sees it. God knows. These are the children of Israel, the apple of God's eye. He loves them. They're His people. And here we have this lie. God will severely judge liars one day. Lies are severe in the sight of God. And I'll tell you why. One of the many reasons is Satan is the father of the lie, and there's no truth in him. And we have to be very, very careful as born-again Christians to be truthful. It's hard at times. Not to tell the truth all the time, but I remember one time we had a surprise party for somebody, and somebody asked me about it, and I thought, what am I going to do, lie about this and blow the surprise party? That was a hard thing, so I didn't say anything. But sometimes you're put in a predicament or a situation. What do I do, Lord? And so I didn't want to blow the surprise party for this particular person. But we have to tell the truth, folks. You know what I love about the truth? When I was a filthy, wretched liar in my BC days, I had to try to remember all the lies I told. And eventually they catch up with you. But you know what's cool now? I'm an old man, and I forget a lot of things now. But you know what? If you tell the truth, you don't really have to remember everything you say. Tell the truth. And you know what? It's so wonderful to put our heads on the pillow at night when we tell the truth and not have to deal with guilt and shame and all the wretched things that come with being a liar. If I had a wish, you've heard me share this before. I wish that liar, liar, pants on fire would happen. Wouldn't that be incredible? Somebody on the news, reading the news, and all of a sudden, trying to put their pants out. I wonder how many people would burn their drawers by lying, you know? God hates lies. The Bible very clearly says that God hates lies. And we need to be men and women of the truth. God will one day severely judge liars. Everything that God hates, both Ahab and Jezebel, are guilty of. You look at back over the past few chapters with Ahab and Jezebel, and then you look at the Ten Commandments, they've broken them all. All of them. And so now, two evil men, they're called scoundrels, are appointed by Jezebel to falsely accuse Naboth of blasphemy against God and against the king, which is the furthest thing from the truth. Guess who is blaspheming God's word? And guess who is lying? The king and the queen. They're the liars here. And they are trying to turn the table on Naboth, making him out as the blasphemer and the liar. And as we see, or will see, since a property would automatically be passed on to Naboth's sons according to the law, Jezebel is going to have the sons murdered as well. Man, oh man, you talk about wicked. Because if they just took out Naboth, the property would go to the sons. She knew that. Isn't it amazing? She knew what God's law says, but she didn't obey it. And guess what? She knew that the sons would be the heirs to the property, and so she's going to have them murdered as well. Verse 11. So the men of his city, the elders and nobles, who were inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent to them, as it was written in the letters which she had sent them. It doesn't say Ahab. Jezebel's the one that did it. She's behind all of this. And they proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth with high honor among the people. And two men, scoundrels, came in and sat before him. And the scoundrels witnessed against him, against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth has blasphemed God and the king. Then they took him outside the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. Sad. And you know what? Just reading about this guy by the name of Naboth, I bet he was really a really great guy. He obeyed God's commandments. He labored in the vineyards, took care of God's property that had been entrusted to him and his family. And look what happens here. A wicked, evil king and his wife, the queen, stone him to death. How sad. Procedure that Jezebel used is actually found in Deuteronomy 16:7. And what does she do? She twists the law. Yeah. In her favor. Deuteronomy 16:7, Deuteronomy 19:15 said that a matter is settled by two or three witnesses. But here the accusation was false. She must have paid or somehow schmoozed these two, as it says here, these two scoundrels, to carry out the death sentence on poor Naboth. The accusation was false. Deuteronomy 16:7 says, whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Think about it. They weren't even there. Think about it. Jezebel wasn't even there. The only one that heard what was said from Naboth was Ahab. But yet they dig up these two scoundrels, these two witnesses, to testify against Naboth. And the next thing you know, they're taking him outside the city gates and stoning him to death. These two men were false witnesses and had not witnessed anything. Liars. You see what lies can do? Oh, man. They compound. They get worse. And it was only Ahab who heard Naboth's refusal to sell the property or to have an exchange. And all that Naboth said was according to God's word. He stood on God's word. Let me tell you this. In the times in which we live, the darker it gets, the harder it's going to be for us to stand on the word of God. Yeah. Why? Because the Bible very clearly says, in the end times they will be calling good evil and evil good. The Bible also says there will be a great, when God says great, he means great, there will be a great falling away. The Bible also tells us very clearly, you know the amazing thing here tonight is I'm sharing some things that I preached 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and we're right there, right now. The Bible very clearly says that before the return of Jesus Christ, they will be haters of God. You tell me, are we there? Look how they use the Lord's name in vain. Yeah. And so here, all that Naboth said was according to God's word, and it was not blasphemy. He was obeying his God to the nth degree. The truly guilty ones before God, as we know, we can see right here, right? Who are the guilty ones? Ahab and Jezebel. And these two false witnesses, these two scoundrels. But you know what? And again, oftentimes you and I see things going on in the world today that get us angry and irritated. God, why don't you judge them? They're going to be judged. Just like we're going to see here tonight that Ahab and Jezebel and these two scoundrels are going to be judged one day. In God's sight, nobody gets away with anything. Nobody gets away with wickedness and evil. That's why we have to make sure that our sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. We've heard that a lot lately from the pulpit, haven't we? That our sins would be as far as the east is from the west in the deepest part of the sea, and he remembers them no more. Yeah, that's where we need to be today. We need to make sure that we confess our sin right on the spot. You know what I love? One of the many things I love about the person of the Holy Spirit? When I sin, when I blow it, I don't have a moment's peace until I'm flat on my face saying, Lord, have mercy upon my soul. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me, wash me, purify my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I was behind my desk today. Sue was out of the office at home, and Ryan was out doing something, and I'm laying on the floor behind my desk today asking God to forgive me for my thought life, for allowing things to rip me off. And I thought, somebody's going to walk through the door and call 911 because they're going to think Pastor Joe's dead behind his desk. But you know what? That's one of my favorite places. We're to reckon the old man dead. And I want that old man to be dead on the floor behind my desk. Well, what'd you do, Pastor Joe? I'm not going to tell you. It's none of your business. You take care of your own sin. You reckon your old man to be dead. Don't worry about this old man here. It's so true. It doesn't have to be anything great. But the person of the Holy Spirit does not allow us to have a moment's peace until we deal with the sin in our lives. And a wonderful thing happens when we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And guess what? The joy returns. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The truly guilty ones here, Ahab and Jezebel. These two false witnesses. You know what's really sad? And this breaks my heart. Not only in this story, but even today. It breaks my heart when perfectly innocent people are falsely accused. And they end up prison, whatever it might be. We see that happen all the time. Here they took a perfectly innocent man outside of the city and stoned him to death. Why? So that little Ahab could have his little veggie garden. Are you kidding me? Really? Seriously? And it was only a summer place, a summer palace. He wasn't there year round. Verse 15. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, honey, paraphrase, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give to you for money, but Naboth is not alive, but dead. Wow. So it was when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab got up and went down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. Wow. Isn't this incredible? And again, this is true life stuff. You know, this book is so incredible. It pretty much covers everything in life, doesn't it? And there's a lot of churches today that have thrown out the Old Testament. These are practical examples of things that we need to be aware of. Why? So we can pray about them, so we can avoid the snares, whatever it might be. There's a million reasons why we need both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I love it. I love it. And so here we see that the officers had notified Jezebel. Notice they didn't notify Ahab, back in verse 14, of the execution. And it's pretty obvious who had the power in the family. You tell me, who had the power in the family? the king or the wicked, evil queen. To me, Ahab was a wimp. He didn't stand on God's word. He didn't stand up for righteousness and truth. And that's what the king of Israel was supposed to do. They were to write out and to memorize and to learn the five books of Moses before they could take office. He knew exactly what Leviticus said. He knew exactly what Deuteronomy 19:15 said. And he didn't have the intestinal fortitude to stand upon God's word. How sad. It's pretty obvious who wore the pants in the family. In all reality, because the land belonged to God, Jezebel and Ahab were stealing from God. That's the bottom line. Now think about this. I was thinking about this the other day. Everything that you and I have belongs to God. Everything that you and I have is a gift from God. And so if somebody rips you off, guess who they're ripping off in all reality? Not only that, if they're coming against you, they're coming against God's son and God's daughter. That's who you are. And that's why we need to pray for them. When they come against you, they're coming against Christ who is in you, and we need to pray for them. This is some heavy stuff. How sad. Because the land belonged to God. And Jezebel and Ahab were stealing from God. But you know what? They're not going to get away with it. Judgment is about to fall. That's five scary words to me. Judgment is about to fall. Imagine. But you know what? With what we see going on in our world today, with what we see going on in Magog, in Israel, I really have this anxious feeling in my heart that judgment is about to fall. How long can this go on? But I'm not anxious for myself because I know that the trump of God's going to sound and we're going to be out of here. We're going to be raptured. We're going to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb. But what really hurts my heart is some of the people I know and I love and that I come into contact with are still going to be here after the rapture of the church. And what's really sad is some of them are sitting in churches today and they're not being told the truth of God's word. They're getting feel-good messages. Name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, confess it and possess it. Feel good about yourself. I feel good about myself when I know I'm forgiven. When I'm cleansed from all of my sin and all my wickedness and all my unrighteousness, that's when I feel good about myself. Thank you, Jesus. But to feel good about yourself in this world, we're not home. Do you know that? We're citizens of heaven. Your forwarding address is heaven. Your permanent eternal address is in heaven. That's where we're headed. We need to be ready. So watch this, verse 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria." Notice, God knows exactly where he is. God knows everything. There he is in the vineyard. God even knew he was in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. "You shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord.'" You know what? There's four more scary words to me. "Thus says the Lord." I got news for you. When the Lord says something, you best be listening up. "Thus says the Lord." Yikes. "You shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession?' And you shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord.'" Check this out. "In the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours." So Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" And he answered, "I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord." Whoa. Some pretty heavy stuff. Behold, I will bring calamity on you. Whew. I will take away your posterity and will cut off from Ahab every male in Israel. His whole family, going to wipe them out. Both bond and free, I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nabal, or Nabat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger, God says, and made Israel sin. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. The dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. Whew. That's some heavy stuff, folks. Man. So who shows up? Elijah. God sends Elijah to Ahab. We haven't seen Elijah since back in chapter 19 when he passed the mantle to Elisha, who was called to be his successor. And here in verse 17, God calls Elijah for a special mission. Oftentimes I refer to what I do as delivering the mail. Elijah is going to deliver the mail to Ahab. He's taking the word of the Lord to Ahab, who just happens to be in the vineyard of Naboth. And God tells Elijah to go down to Samaria to meet Ahab in the vineyard. And again, look at verse 19 and 20. He shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours. Wow. And again, thus says the Lord, dogs going to lick your blood. Elijah tells Ahab he would be slain. His descendants would be slain, which is going to happen later on. And in verse 23, Jezebel will be eaten by dogs. Jezebel will become puppy chow. Whoa. Here are these two people who lived life on the gravy train, who are going to both become gravy train. That's some heavy stuff. I can't even imagine that sight. And it did happen right out in the city streets where the dogs ate Jezebel. And the dogs ate Ahab. Going to the dogs has taken on a whole new meaning. Imagine that. I can't even imagine what it was like to see someone eaten by dogs. When I was in Vietnam, I saw some pretty nasty stuff. But I can't even imagine what this would be like. And all who belong to Ahab and Jezebel will die. And those who are in the city will be eaten by dogs, and those who die out in the field will be eaten by the birds of the air, vultures, scavengers. What a tragic ending for the one who is called to be king of Israel. What an honor that would be. To be king of Israel, to obey God's commandments, to walk with God, to see God's hand. And he blew it. What a tragic ending to one of the many wicked, evil kings of Israel. All of their posterity will eventually be eradicated by the Lord. All of the years that they spent in sinful pleasure, in sinful pursuits, end up in the judgment of God. That's some heavy stuff. And again, today, this should be a deterrent for many people because the wages of sin is death. God doesn't miss a thing. He sees everything. He even knows the intent of our hearts. He knows every thought that we have. And the world out there, man, it's like, whoa. One day, without Jesus Christ, they will have to stand before holy God. And again, I can't even imagine what that will be like. The Bible tells us that they will be without excuse, meaning they probably won't even be able to open their mouths as they stand before holy God. Guilty. Verse 25. Man, lost my place here. But there was no one like Ahab, look at this, who sold himself to do wickedness. You see what that says? It's an act of your own free will. If you sell out to do wickedness, you have sold out to the devil. If you want to sell out, the best place to be sold out is to be in your relationship with Jesus Christ. There was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. In the original language, she incited him. And he behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. How sad. Ahab sold himself out to do wickedness. With your own free will, with your own heart, there's only two choices. You're either going to sell yourself out to do wickedness, or you're going to sell yourself out to do righteousness. Righteousness and truth are the foundation of God's throne. My Bible tells me that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, this is so cool. I can't even, I know it's what Scripture says, but man, it's like he tells us that you are robed in his righteousness. Yeah. When you're a Christian, when you're a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God, you are robed in his righteousness. Wow. We don't always feel like it, do we? I don't know about you, but I have bad days as well. But he sold himself to do wickedness. Ahab sold himself to the devil. It was his choice. And guess what? It says his wife incited him to do it as well. He behaved very abominably. And he followed idols, Baal and many other idols. Verse 27. And so it was when Ahab heard those words that he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "See how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity of his day in his days. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house." Now, first impression, oh man, look at this. Ahab got saved. Here it looks as though Ahab had a change of heart. But in the next chapter, we will see that his repentance was only superficial. There's two words that we should be very much familiar with. Repentance and remorse. Repentance is taking responsibility for our sin and repenting before holy God, saying, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord." Remorse is just being sorry that you got caught. We have prisons filled with remorseful people. Oh yes, we have prisons filled with repentant people as well. There's people who get saved in prison. But there's a lot of people today that don't know the difference between repentance and between remorse. We're going to see in chapter 22 next week, if the trumpet doesn't sound, if we're still here next week, we're going to see that his heart was unchanged. He did all the outward things, as we see here. He tore his clothes, put a sackcloth on his body, fasted, laid in sackcloth, and was mourning. But it was just an outward thing. And again, religion can be outward. God does not want religion. He's not concerned with the outward appearance. He's concerned with the inward. He's concerned with your heart and my heart. And God wants a broken and contrite spirit in his people. That's the important thing. He was sold out, but he wasn't sold out to God. Ahab, as we see here, was sold out to do wickedness. In contrast, the all-important thing is that we need to be sold out to God. All in is the terminology today. We need to have both feet in with God. Not one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Greg Laurie says some people have their mug, he calls them mugwumps. They got their mug in the church and their wump in the world. We don't want to be mugwumps today. We need to be all in. We need to be sold out to God. And then, when we're sold out to him, man, you get to enjoy all the wonderful blessings that come with having a personal relationship with the true and the living God. What a lesson we have here of Ahab. Many think, oh, I mean, look at him, he's saved. Well, tune in next week. We're going to see that, yeah, the outward changed. He did all the religious things. He probably even put ashes on his head for Ash Wednesday. Probably ate fish on Friday. You know, those outward things do you no good. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ and him alone. Not Mary, not Buddha, not anybody else. Only Jesus Christ can save your soul from damnation and from hell. Jesus himself said you cannot serve two masters. You love one and you hate the other. Many people today love the devil and hate God, and God wants you to love him and hate the devil. It's our choice. It's our choice. And as the title says here tonight, how about you and I? Are we selling ourselves to do evil, or are we selling ourselves to do that which is right before God? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. I know it's a heavy chapter, but Lord, I needed to hear it, and I thank you for it. Because you love us so much, you want to keep us from temptation, keep us from the wiles of the devil out there. And Lord, you want us to be sold out to you. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to cast aside all of the things of this world that would hinder us, that would drag us down, and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in righteousness and in truth and in the newness of life. Would you help us to do that? Thank you for the worship tonight. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the fellowship tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
And have you all stay-